Peace Ball takes place at 8 p.m. at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Check out democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
The World Arts Foundation Incorporated and KBOO would like to invite you to its 32nd annual tribute to the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. On Monday, January the 16th, from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., at the Highland Christian Center, located at 7600 Northeast Gleason. Invited guests will include a multitude of speakers and performances that includes the Portland Interfaith Gospel Choir and choirs from the Portland Public Schools, African drumming, and the acclaimed Jefferson Dancers, and much, much more. Monday, January the 16th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., live right here on KBOO 90.7 FM. Keep alive the dream.
The greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of Maggots and Men, Sunday, January 15th at 4:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Maggots and Men is an experimental film set in post-revolutionary Russia, and it tells the story of the 1921 uprising of the Kronstadt sailors with a subtext of gender anarchy. This film is a benefit for Out There Adventures, whose mission is to cultivate leadership and build community for queer youth through adventure. Again, that's Maggots and Men, Sunday, January 15th, 4:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering locally roasted coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House.
What would you have instead?
This is it. There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world you cast your vote.
Good morning. Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your very own community radio station. And here we are, positively revolting as ever. Excuse me. So, my name is Ani. I am not here with Lynn this morning. Lynn is taking the morning off, but I am here with Teresa Mitchell from Press Watch. Thank you, Teresa, for joining us this morning.
Did someone say smash fascism?
Well, not yet, but I'm sure we'll get around to that, and you'll add that okay. Momentarily.
All right.
Momentarily. And we also have with us this morning Amy Harwood, who is a local organizer and has been working on the upcoming conference that's starting this weekend and continuing on, called the First 100 Days, which
great is to be here.
And that's exactly what we'll be talking about this morning, the first 100 days. Thank you, Amy, for joining us this morning. So let's just jump straight into it. Lynn and I have talked about the fact that we are focusing each Friday morning in January on resistance to the upcoming Trump administration. That, you know, the selection has been made. There it is, coming at us like a freight train. Call it a week from today. And there's a lot of actions going on. People who are saying that this is not okay, that this is not happening without a vibrant resistance movement, and that that movement has been coalescing for a number of weeks, really, really since, I'm going to guess, prior to the election, as many of us saw what was happening. Like, again, I'm just going to keep using that metaphor of a train wreck. So, Amy, thank you again for joining us. Let's go ahead and jump straight to the conference that is this weekend and what inspired it. The conference is the first 100 days. Can you talk about that just sort of conceptually? Like, why are you focusing on the first 100 days of this next administration?
Well, I think historically the first 100 days of a presidency is sort of when a candidate becomes the elected official and has to kind of deliver on what they were saying during the election. And so, you know, even if there are a lot of things that come out after that, rhetorically, that's a time when there's a lot of blustering around, you know, what they're going to do. And so I think that becomes a really important moment of to show some resistance to, you know, what was said during election and then what we think might happen. And so we wanted to kind of counter what we know will be a very intense first 100 days with something really big and beautiful here in Portland. And I think it's been exciting to see the initial response to the election. And the group of us that have come together to organize first 100 days, we saw a lot of people in the streets who perhaps it was their first time going to the streets and showing that type of protest and resistance. And while there was a lot of amazing organizing and new faces out there, we wanted to make sure that people had access to skills and information that maybe we used a little more, you know, 8 years ago before Obama, and just kind of re-up on some of those trainings. The group that came together was primarily a group of people who are cultural organizers. And so there are a number of different trainings happening and like this in Portland, which is so great to see. And our work right now is really focused on helping artists and people who have skills around creative intervention to get these kind of basics of how to bring your art into a protest space. And we're hoping, so this coming weekend is our first event, and we're hoping that this is the beginning of a series that goes in for a couple months and hopefully more. And so we have a couple of events already scheduled that will follow this, and we're hoping that it just kind of snowballs and becomes much more.
Snowballs. We know how those work now.
Yeah.
You know, you start with something kind of small and you keep it going and it creates mass. It's a beautiful thing. You know, that concept might have been a little more alien to Portlanders before this last week, but I think we've all seen the process. And that's really cool because, well, you had mentioned there's another couple of things going on this week, and I wanted to mention also Stand Together, which is a day of action workshops that's taking place at the Sunnyside Community House tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning. Now, when I went to check on this event, I saw that it was jam-packed, and in fact, registration is closed because of its, because people recognize the importance of it. It's a full day of sessions talking about strategic action planning, media, community outreach, messaging, peacekeeping, tactical design, legal observing, knowing your rights, nonviolent direct action, and more. And right before we went on air, I hear that the conference this weekend is also at this point over full or full.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people want this. I mean, I wish we could be offering dozens of them.
Right? And that's sort of the thing. So it's like the people here are really hungry for this kind of information and this kind of coming together because we know how crucial it is to really start making resistance a more enduring practice, mm-hmm. really, and looking at what's happening and the importance of standing against it. And let's look at what is happening. Therese and I were just listening to Democracy Now!, as I'm assuming many of our listeners were. And with every passing day, you know, new cabinet announcements are made and the news just gets a little more surreal. Mm-hmm. Giuliani as the head of cybersecurity. What is this? And so when we are looking at responses, you know, quite often we think of a protest as sort of taking a placard and marching up and down the square, perhaps shouting some rather tired, bit of verse that rhymes and has that particular rhythm. We all know, you know, a slogan depleted should never be repeated. You know, so thanks to Teresa for that. She yelled it 20 years ago at a rally and it's been stuck in my head ever since. So the idea of coming together and actually discussing amongst folks that know the change needs to be made and resistance is important, to do it in a creative way, to do something different. Because obviously what we've been doing for our entire lives hasn't worked. It's brought us this. So let's talk about that creative impulse and people coming together to do something a little different.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the creativity of what to do that's different than what we've been doing. And there's also the age-old fact that we actually rely on cultural organizers more than we know to stay organized. I think a lot of the times we see political organizers, you know, in the face of a protest or at a public meeting, and we don't always recognize the people who are kind of keeping us, our communities, culturally vibrant. And so to me, what I'm really interested in is helping some of those people that have the skills to keep us really motivated and empowered in our communities. And I see that happening in cultural organizers. And so I think that there is this idea that we can come up with a better slogan. And maybe if we have artists involved and maybe poets coming up with better slogans, or, you know, if we have people who are practiced in this kind of thing more involved, that it will be more creative and more and unique. But I also I want to recognize that especially a place like Portland has had cultural organizers continuing to work, and they know how to organize people. They know how to put on events that really get people thinking. And those are the people that I think we can rely on for the next 8 years the next 4 years to keep us moving. Sorry. I am not actually a practicing artist, but for a number of years, I've been working with an organization called Signal Fire that I started, which is hoping to get more artists and creative thinkers into environmental movement and into land justice issues, because that's a social movement that I see a real lack of cultural organizing happening, as opposed to some of the other social movements where we see a real connection to artists and creative communities. And so I, you know, for the last few years, I've really thought about this and come to appreciate how important it is to be doing that. So that's why I am involved in First 100 Days. And it's been amazing to work with the group of people I've been working with who, you know, I think we sometimes don't give enough credit to artists because maybe they're not as linear. So it's not always the easiest, you know, a thing to organize something that takes a little bit more linear thinking to get through the logistics. But ultimately, the ideas that come out are so bright and beautiful. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I want to remind people you're listening to KABU, your community radio station. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you would like to join us this morning on air. Join in this conversation about resisting and the first 100 days of this administration, bringing creativity to the mix, bringing our whole selves into this, which I have to say, for myself, it's a little unsatisfying to say resistance to Trump. I really appreciate the language in and about the first 100 days conference as you're taking it further. And it's really a whole anti-colonialist agenda of moving it on where we need to be getting, not just resisting fascism, but what we want to create. And I think that's super important.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we can't forget that there are artists who don't share those values too, you know? And so we wanted to make it explicit. This is who we're interested to work with, people who are, yeah.
Exactly. Well, let's go ahead and talk to Camilo. Good morning, Camilo. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Apropos of the question regarding solidarity, can we have a fuller explanation of what's going on with the Portland NAACP not being willing to march on Saturday the 21st?
You know, I don't really, I'm not the person to address that. Because I saw something about that in passing yesterday, and I don't fully understand it, honestly. Perhaps people can call up, and if you have more understanding than I, which wouldn't take much, please enlighten us.
I think we need that.
Yeah. We need to practice solidarity. I understand there have been some issues around the organizing of the Portland Women's March. I understand there have been some concerns. It seems like initially maybe some of the organizers, I don't know. I know that I personally saw something that made me raise two eyebrows and go, I think they maybe not are used to organizing street actions. That's my thought.
Let's not speculate about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I know.
And I think the point should be that we are mature adults. We should be able to discuss this.
Yeah.
And nothing is more important than solidarity now.
I agree with you.
Well, looking at the Portland NAACP chapter 1120.org website, I don't see anything specifically about that. The latest thing seems to be open and accountable elections reform passed. Joanne Hardesty is president, so perhaps you could contact her through the website and get an answer to that.
She really hasn't been forthcoming. She sent us the scanner, and the link to scanner doesn't work. So, you know,
okay.
we need to get to the bottom of this and do something about it.
Right. Well, I don't have that information.
I mean, I think and I don't know all the details, but the bit that I've been following about kind of what Ani's talking about with the Women's March is so indicative of what I was saying at the beginning of the show, is just there's a couple things going on. One is there's a lot of people who want to get involved and want to be out in the streets and want to be organizing and haven't done it much before. And I think people have a perception that a bunch of people go out into the streets and then something happens, and forget that there's actually people who really devote their lives to making sure that these types of demonstrations, you know, while they can always have the unexpected excitement of people just going out into the streets, there's often a lot of smart organizing that happens before to make sure that the people who are spokespeople and the people who are in the leadership positions and the people who are at the beginning of the march actually are representing the communities that we're out there hoping to empower. And so that takes time, and it's not something that can be done well quickly, which right now we are all operating and this is sort of the second thing, we're all operating really quickly. And, you know, with first 100 days, this came about in the last few weeks, and it's been a ton of work by a bunch of volunteers. And I think you could say that for most of the things that are getting organized right now. It's a mad flurry, and a lot of things are getting missed, and that happens. And okay. It's, yeah.
I think I have some relevant information on that. From the Scanner, there's an article by Julianne Malveaux about why she has decided, after all, to support the march. If I go down a few paragraphs, it says, I, meaning Julianne Malvo, applied to Mika Mallory. She told me, quote, I was not willing to let this convening come together without having black women involved, end quote. In other words, white women cannot speak for all women. If white women had their way, the march and rally would probably focus only on equal pay and reproductive rights. Thanks to Tamika and her colleagues, a statement of principles to be issued next week will also address racial injustice, police brutality, criminal justice reform, and mass incarceration. So it would appear that progress has been made on that issue. And that's, as I say, in the scanner, that's thescanner.com.
But I know that Joanne responded to that and said that there'd been some discussion, but they're still not endorsing.
Well, yeah. I think that's so as close as we can get.
If anybody who really has information that is dispositive, then please call in and let us know what's happening.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Camila, for your question.
Good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I agree. Solidarity is super important. It is important to work together and try to work through differences. It's also important to really listen to folks when you're organizing. It's so hard to say what's going on. But surely, if you do have information, it's a great place to call and share that information. Also, if you're involved in organizing actions coming up, or you have ideas for actions, this is a great place, a great clearinghouse to share them. As we were saying, so many of the planned let's get together and prepare now for vibrant actions coming up, well, are jam full for this weekend, right? And again, that shows the hunger and the need. But certainly, actions themselves are not exhausted. So if you have ideas, if you yourself are a cultural organizer, or maybe you just want to play one on the radio, go ahead, give us a call, 503-231-8187. Let's talk a little bit more about not just being in an act of resistance, but actually creating a community of resistance. Can you go ahead and elaborate on the differences there? Because to me, an act of resistance is sort of a one-time, Trump, we're not with you. We want to make sure history knows we're really not with you. And then you kind of get back to business. Mm-hmm. Whereas creating a community of resistance speaks to me of being in it for a little bit more of a long haul with some bigger goals.
Yeah, and I one of the things I've been trying to encourage people to think about when they show up to something like First 100 Days or any of these trainings, to go with a small group of people that you trust. I think showing up to even those one-off big events and demonstrations with a group, an affinity group or a group of friends, will help make that a more meaningful way to show up. And then following it, you can continue to stay organized with people that you're already in community with. And I think we do that naturally. And now more than ever, we need to be thinking about who it is that we can be working together with effectively. There's a real drive to just go out and plug into everything you can possibly show up to in every meeting. And that runs us all dry. I think we're in it for a while now, and we have to start thinking about how to work in resistance in a way that that feeds us as well. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's maybe also look at the term anti-colonialist, because I think that is something that it's a phrase that's a little bit newer. I know that when KABU was writing our mission statement a couple years ago, we have the term our anti-colonialist, you know, to decolonize mass consciousness is actually how we phrased it in our mission. And some of the folks working with us were like, we have no idea what you kids are talking about these days. So can you unpack that a little bit? What does it mean to be anti-colonialist?
Ooh. Gosh.
And we only have 40 minutes left.
Yeah. I mean, I think, gosh, I don't even know where to begin with that.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, I want to make sure that I think what's important is also to recognize that that's such a huge concept, and it could quickly slip into that type of lingo that you kind of, you say it and then you get the checkbox that you know what it means. And I think a lot of us don't know what that means. We live in a colonial society that has had incredible repercussions on so many communities. And as a white person, what does it mean? Well, for me, I know it means that I probably in my lifetime won't actually be able to answer clearly how to be an anti-colonialist, how to decolonize my own mind. And so I think that, let's see, okay. I think for the coming like time ahead, the near future, probably what it means is making sure that we, and myself as a white person, is showing up to ensure that white supremacy does not continue to thrive. And I mean, yeah.
Well, the way I've been phrasing it is it's time to destroy whiteness, because mm-hmm. if you really think about what whiteness is, I mean, I say I'm an Irish German American. You know, what is it if I say I'm white in that context? And my favorite favorite tale to tell about this is that in apartheid white Africa, of course, you had whiteness as a status, but Japanese citizens dealing with that regime didn't want to put up with the color line. And so they got themselves defined as officially white. And no one in South Africa thought that Japanese citizens looked like white South Africans, like people descended from Europeans. It's a status. And so if I say I want to destroy whiteness, what I mean is I want to, the word unpack gets used a lot, but I want to unpack all the things that it is to have white status and see what it is and see what it does. And what I see is that whiteness is, it's a status that is used to gather privilege unto myself, which is profitable to me, and it is done so by crushing everyone else, because everyone else is not white. So destroying whiteness means being aware of this and what whiteness is for, and moving towards an abolitionist regime that would eventually destroy the use, even in language, of the phrase white person or white persons. It's certainly useful now. We need to use it. We need to cop to being white people and doing white people things. But to destroy whiteness, I think that's liberating, and that's the way that it should be, is that it should liberate white people at the same time it liberates everyone else.
One of the things that's been really... was much more articulate. one of the things that's been really exciting to me is working with the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, which is where we're going to be hosting this weekend's events. And then on January 28th, we'll be having another event at the Pacific Northwest College of Art. And sometimes I have reticence to work in institutional settings for this type of organizing and this type of training. At the same time, though, I think that we have to look towards the institutions to start dismantling some of them as well. And to me, to have PICA and PNCA be willing to host this is hopeful that those institutions are interested in doing this work as well. And so I think that's another place where it's been interesting to kind of see what's going to happen, especially in a place like Portland, where just the logistical nightmare of trying to find a venue for an event anymore is actually really difficult. And so we have to be holding institutions accountable. You know, there's going to be a difference between the ones that are willing to host something like this and the ones that aren't. And that's what's going to really define a place like Portland in terms of our journey to hopefully do exactly what you're talking
Absolutely.
About.
I'm very excited, though, to see that this is happening, and this is happening in these, you know, as you say, first 100 days, that's something I remember from being a kid. You know, let us see what the first 100 days of Jimmy Carter's presidency will present to the public. And you hear that every time you get a new president. And so right on for picking that phrase, because we're all terrified of the first 100 days that Trump, we're terrified at what he is going to do, for good reason, because he's been terrifying as a candidate. And I think people are very hungry to do something. And so here is this, here's a set of actions that is possible. The thing that I've been mentioning is the general strike, instead of, you know, cringing under Inauguration Day, simply making it a day of of action, of saying that you're too sick to go to work and hitting the streets instead. And I get a very positive response from that. Posters have gone out for that, posters which perhaps could be useful and presented at this first 100 days and will be produced, if I understand, at this first 100 days event. And it has very practical actions in it as well. I mean, from what we've seen before, it's certainly appropriate that there is a make-your-own gas mask station. can I read that? It says, Riley King will have a station set up and empty 2-liter bottles available to show you how to make cheap and effective tools to keep safe on the streets. Well, good, because those things, they can get expensive and obviously pretty darn necessary.
So I want to go ahead and get to one of our callers. Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I'd like to address the problem of homelessness, please, if I may.
Okay.
A primary cause of homelessness in the state of Oregon is that there are no legal restrictions on landlords or management agencies evicting without cause or raising rents without limit. No renter is safe. A relentless campaign of collective action in addressing our political representatives is entirely essential. How would you suggest that we go about forming groups or transmitting information in general to address this problem? Please.
All right, thanks.
Again, please.
Groups specifically working on the issue of housing in Oregon?
Not necessarily providing housing or vouchers. It is giving rights to renters.
To tenants, yeah, right, to renters.
To protect them from being evicted without cause.
Are you familiar?
Having their rents raised extremely. This is a primary cause of homelessness, and it should be addressed collectively, directly to all political representatives.
Yep.
This is a right.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Are you familiar with the Portland Tenants Union?
I don't live in Portland. Okay. I live in Salem.
All right. There's a very active group in Portland. I don't know what's happening in Salem, but I can say that in Portland, there's been a group of folks working on this for a couple of years now. We've had them on the show multiple times. But the Portland Tenants Union, I don't know statewide what's happening with that, but you're right. It is. I absolutely agree with your analysis.
This is a statewide problem.
Yes, true. Yes.
And state legislature should be addressed.
Yeah.
Municipal legislatures, city councils.
Yes.
This requires an output of information regarding collective action and the necessity for it. I mean, no renter is safe.
Yeah. At the risk of sounding Portland-centric, because I agree with you that this is a statewide issue, I think that this is one of those issues that we have a really vibrant movement that has been organizing for several years and really coming at this strong. And I would say if there was one thing that people will look to Portland and Oregon for leadership around the country, I would hope that this is one of those issues where our situation here in Oregon is so bad that hopefully the response is going to be so good that it really, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that one of the things about housing that is important to keep in mind too is the intersectional possibility of bringing racial justice issues and a whole bunch of other movement work. It has real possibility.
Every sort of group, racial justice groups, every interest group should be focused on this collectively because it affects everyone. And every politician should be responding openly and directly to any challenge or any proposition put forward to address this.
Yeah. Well, Jim, thanks very much for your call this morning.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye. Uh-huh, and you. I mean, that movement actually was largely responsible for getting Chloe Ulladi elected to the Portland City Council on that issue primarily. Yes, it needs to be statewide, but here we are organizing locally and hopefully, you know, regionally and throughout the state and the country. I mean, honestly, it is a nationwide issue.
It's amazing to me that it's necessary to promote the basic idea that housing is, of course, a human right. I mean, that's recognized around the world, but Americans are very unclear on that for good reasons, for years of propagandizing in this sort of hyper-capitalist vein. But housing, I mean, of course you have to have housing. You have to have housing to live. And denying housing, on the other hand, is criminal. It's corrupt. It's the sign of a system that has absolutely failed.
Well, and at least 4 people are now dead in Portland because of a lack of housing and this extreme cold.
It is cause for revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's that. Let's go ahead and talk to our next caller, shall we? 503-231-8187 is the number to call to join us this morning. My name's Ani. I'm here with Teresa, who's sitting in for Lynn. And also, this morning, our guest is Amy Harwood. She is a local organizer and has been a part of organizing the First 100 Days Conference, which is taking place this weekend, and another part of it coming up on January 28th, which we can talk about in just a few minutes. But first, let's talk to Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can.
You can?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. I'm African-American, and I have law enforcement in my family that goes back at least 55 years.
Uh-huh.
And I've been active in resisting since James Byrd was lynched with a pickup truck in Jasper, Texas.
Yes.
I was unfortunate or fortunate enough to catch Channel 8 News at 6 o'clock when the Black Woman was airing, the guys in Malala tried to do the same thing to a young Black boy in 98 or 2001. I can't remember exactly when that was.
Yeah, I don't remember the year, but yeah.
Yes, but the Malala police, which to me are the most racist people in Oregon, and they have the nerve to drive around, or they used to drive around in black cop cars. I caught a police officer saying that it was okay or not a hate crime to lynch black people with a car, and I saw white people just go insane after that. So I saw a Malala police officer one day in his black cop car, and I clowned the hell out of him to the point where they painted their cars to silver. So that's what I wanted to say, and that's what I think it means to be really active. I mean, and super brave, too. Yes, I have cops in my family, but that shouldn't give me any really forward thing, you know?
Right.
I just think that everybody needs to just buckle down and just be brave and just clown these police officers when they deserve to be clowned. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Buckle down and be brave. I like that.
It's a great phrase. 503-231-8187, the number to call. Also want to encourage you to go ahead and like Positively Revolting on Facebook. You can find our fan page there. We always try to put up, connected links and that sort of thing throughout the week, because once a week is not enough. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can find us there at Positive Revolt. Let's talk about, since this weekend's conference is jam-packed, let's talk about what's happening on the 28th.
Yeah. Well, we had hoped that this coming weekend was going to be focused on getting people ready for the protests and the marches coming up the following week, and we had an idea to make sure to have a kind of quick turnaround event that looked more at long-term organizing strategies. And so that event on the 28th is going to be more focused on how do we keep this going. And we'll have a number of speakers come and speak about different issues around Portland. We're going to have several groups come and do these quick presentations. We're doing this on this Sunday and then again on the 28th, dispatches from different projects and organizations that people can get involved with. I think sometimes we take for granted that it's not always easy for people to figure out where to go put their time and where to go show up to be part of collective organizing efforts. And so we want to make sure to have some of that that information available, particularly to the artist community and some of the students at PNCA. We're also bringing up, thanks to C3 Initiative, which is one of my favorite art organizations in Portland, we are bringing up Melanie Cervantes, who is an incredible artist out of the Bay Area, and she's going to come and do a workshop and a quick talk on some of her work with, you know, making art and creative response to organizing. So she's amazing, and we're really excited that she's going to be coming up here to do that.
Fantastic. So yeah. Looking at continuing the movement again, not just, you know, so many times we're used to, we come together and then we fall apart, you know, but really, as we've mentioned throughout December, we had every show in December focusing on the need to stay grounded and connected and to build a movement that's solid together with each other and staying grounded in ourselves so that we aren't so apt to react in scattered ways, to react in a sense of panic, but in fact to build on our discontent.
Yeah.
You know? But now that we move that grounded sort of focused energy onwards into what actions can we take together. Amy, it's so good to be able to discuss this with you this morning here on KBOO. We have about 20 minutes left. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you would like to join us in this conversation. I do want to point out a couple of things coming up. So on the 20th, a week from today, Inauguration Day, there is a gathering that will be happening, and that is going on Friday at Pioneer Square. 3:30 is when it starts. Here at 4 o'clock, it's going to really get going, and it's going pretty much all evening. Pioneer Square, Rise Up and Resist Fascism Inauguration Day Protest. And so that is one event. Of course, we had mentioned the Women's March on Washington, Portland, contingent Portland style, Portland action. And that is happening on Saturday, the 21st. From noon to 4, and that is gathering at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. And then on Sunday, there is another gathering, and that is Sunday the 22nd at noon, also at Pioneer Courthouse Square. And this action is called Never Going Back. It's a peaceful funeral-style procession intended to draw attention to queer resistance and the looming fight to protect queer rights from bigots occupying positions of governmental power. And so that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, actions that have been called. And folks, you know, if you're looking for something to do, there's three actions happening. And what you bring to those actions, you know, that's, again, making a huge difference. Looking at fighting fascism with some creativity. And for me, you know, fascism is a serious damn thing, right? Serious as a heart attack. And yet, if I can't have fun, if I can't be joyous as I resist, then I've kind of lost the point. Because I think that resistance work, I think that our organizing always has to have a creative spark. It always has to be inclusive. It always has to think a little bit deeper. And we really should strive to be fun. If it's not fun, it's not sustainable. Others have said it. I believe it.
Well, I see Inauguration Day as a big old dance in the streets party. It's going to be a hoot and a holler.
Well, one of the things that's been so fun about putting these events together is actually looking at all of the amazing projects that have been happening and are already well organized. in Portland. And, you know, we have on Sunday night, we're going to be hosting the post-colonial conceptual karaoke with Weird Al and Capro, which people have maybe seen before. Is an awesome project.
Wait, you have to say that again.
Okay.
Post-colonial conceptual karaoke. Is that, did I hear that right?
Yeah. For those of us that haven't perhaps heard of that before.
It's a spectacular karaoke event that happens as sort of a pop-up at different things where the artists have put together spin-offs of pop music that has new words that are about anti-colonial aspects.
Oh, reclaiming
and,
there.
Right, and there's usually some good video behind it, and
awesome.
It's awesome.
That sounds awesome.
It's really fun, yeah. And we also have... we have, let's see, I can actually just talk about some of the people who are going to be coming. We have Kyla Farrell-Smith and Carly Smith coming from One Flaming Arrow, which is an incredible project with Indigenous artists that has been coming together for the last few years to highlight some of the Indigenous artists from around the country. We have Lou Yim and Taka Yamamoto, who do physical education, which is an awesome dance performance and just really inclusive, exciting movement project. And Andre Middleton's going to be talking about Friends of Noise and Portland Community Media and trying to get more people involved in media work. And we have Carla Bankston coming up from Eugene, who is doing a project called Scold, where she's using masks of Donald Trump to teach crows because of course crows have facial recognition. Yeah, to make sure that they know what his face looks like if he ever comes to Portland. I can't imagine.
Well, you
that
know, crows actually also communicate with each other,
right.
So maybe it'll
and
make
intergenerational,
it all the way
across.
It's true. I love crows.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that kind of stuff, and we have a bunch of other amazing people coming: Damian Diniase, Karen Hickson, just some really prolific thinkers in Portland coming and talking about some of the projects that are already and some of the work that's already happening and ready for this transition, this shift to happen, and as well as some of the more the logistical. Operations Rose Hip Meta Collective is going to be doing a wellness in the streets workshop. Rose City Cop Watch is going to be talking about what it means to police the police. And Just Seeds, we'll have some people from Just Seeds talking about making graphics that really work for actions. And of course, Mike and Jenna and Aaron from KBOO coming and talking about what it means to make your own media and not wait to get that word out. So I just, it's been really so wonderful to be able to reach out and realize that we were maybe ready for this. No, I don't know if we are, but I hope we are. I feel hopeful organizing something like this. I will say that.
Yes. I would say that there's reasons to be hopeful organizing something like this, and let us be ready together. Sunny, you are on the air. Thanks for calling in. Sunny, good morning.
Good morning. And I just think that you all made it through the cold and the snow is commendable, and it's good of KBOO to just keep going through it because it is really cold. It seems to me that, you know, the increasing threat of homelessness for the majority is going to be with us and of course, increase, and it's been there for a long time. I remember... as a mom raising two kids, working as a preschool teacher in food service and stuff, that the Multifamily Housing Council of Oregon, which is associative, I think, with a lot of people that own apartments and stuff, has guidelines that do not allow a certain number of people beyond, you know, like, for instance, you're not allowed, if you're a single mom with two kids, to rent a one-bedroom apartment and sleep in the living room and let your kids have the bedroom, because they just can't let people do that. It's just not quality housing, so it's okay if you go out there under the underpass and you freeze to death, because we're thinking about you. We just don't want you to have to double up. We'd rather you froze to death under the underpass.
Yeah.
And it's gotten worse from there. And... you know, I'm still pushing the idea of a lottery for housing, and, you know, it's going to take a while to get that through the legislature and the governor and stuff if she wishes to take it on. And maybe she will, But locally, it will do Portland a big favor. And, you know, the mayor probably can't jump on that right away, and he might not want to do it at all. But there are probably real energetic, bright young minds in the city of Portland, people at Portland State, or people just walking down the street who are ethical and know that if we can get a lottery okayed just locally, perhaps it's time to start thinking about where the building will occur, how it will occur, so that it's environmentally sensitive as well as necessary, because we've got to get the housing going. If we don't get the housing going, we're just going to have continued fallout and weakening of the in general population.
All right. Hey, Sunny, thanks very much for your call this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's go ahead and we have the bases loaded. Franny, good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, good morning, Franny.
Oh, hi. Sorry, my name cut off. So this is a little off topic, but I'm a longtime member of KBOO. I love you guys. Great show today. And I just wanted to get some sympathy from the KBOO community because January 20th is my birthday.
Oh.
Thank you. I know it's so awful. And I don't think there's a gift receipt for the joke gift of Donald Trump.
Yeah, because otherwise you'd be taken aback.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd love to just throw it out and know who actually gave me this gift. Because it's an anonymous gift.
Well, there you have it. Inauguration schmogrination. It's your birthday.
Yeah, screw it. So anyway, I'm going to go up to the mountain on my birthday, and I'm going to stay overnight up there and just have more snow, you know?
Yeah, but right.
Whatever. All right.
All right.
Guys, thank you.
We'll hold a good party for you down here. Have a good time in the mountains.
Yeah, I think you get do-overs.
Yeah, take good care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And 503-231-8187, the number to call if you would like to chime in. We've got 10 minutes left, and we've got Brian on the line. Good morning, Brian. You're on the air.
Good morning. Just a quick one. I want to remind you something that Teresa said reminded me that Emma Goldman, the great, said, "If I can't dance, I'm not coming to your revolution."
Oh, that's one of Lonnie's favorite quotes.
Great one.
It's Thanks. True.
Bye.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, very short
just
and sweet.
Real quick.
Hope you're doing well, Brian. Thanks so much for your call. And it's true, you know. I mean, and I think that that is also one of the messages that you're really delivering, Amy, in this conference, that creativity has to be a part of what we do. It has to be a part of resistance. It's how we actually change the world, right? We can't change the world by doing the same things we've done in the past. And so we look for cultural organizers, we look for poets, we look for musicians, we look for artists, we look for visual artists and media artists to help us redefine and reshape things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's really part of the importance of moving forward at this time, is looking at things differently, trying to bring in new perspectives, and sharing with each other creatively. We have LJ on the line. Good morning, LJ. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning,
LJ. Happy New Year.
And to you.
Yahoo, yahoo. Just a couple of quick points, honey. Whiteness, white superiority was part of the fabric of the American flag. It started at the very, very beginning. You know, George Washington, who commanded the militia during the Revolutionary War, thought that the people that fought the war were dirty, nasty people who were unaccountable, and they were incredibly stupid. All right, those were his feelings, and the ruling class never ever trusted the common man because of fear that we would challenge their class privilege. So that being said, I would like to recommend a book to him a look at. It's called White Trash, the 400-year untold history of class in America. Nancy Isenberg.
All right. Right.
And you can and if you read Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow.
The New Jim Crow, yeah.
Yeah, you will find out exactly that the way to control us is to divide.
Yeah.
All right. And the Imperial Empire does that very, very well.
Yeah.
So right on, Teresa, we have to scrub ourselves of our whiteness and have a really good day and keep on keeping on.
Thanks for calling in.
Right, you too.
Well, you know, before I was, you know, I'm sorry to admit it, but although I feared Trump would pull that trick, I really didn't see us moving into President Trump. And I was all cranked up to confront what I assumed would be a Hillary Clinton administration on a number of things. And one of them was climate change, which is absolutely at a crisis point. And so when Trump got in, of course, I was stunned like everyone else. But then something just popped. And when it comes to momentum, yeah, I feel momentum in the sense of this shows that the system is so utterly corrupt that it cannot be reformed. I do really sincerely want a different way of living, a better way of life. I want a new government, I want a revolution. And I'm not sure exactly how to start with it. There's various ways. Certainly actions in the streets are a start. But I can imagine actions in the streets moving to shadow governments, moving to city council progressive members getting together in conferences across the nations and actually forming a new way to live, because we can't keep living this way. And obviously we can't live with Trump, who is going to destroy the entire planet's ecosystem as he introduces fascism to America. It's the worst. And so we don't have a choice. We have to mobilize.
Well, and while we're mobilizing, let's talk to Jane. I think we can squeeze Jane in one last caller for the morning. Good morning, Jane. You're on the air.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of a little bit off topic or late, but about colonization, I wanted to recommend the EWWC, which is the Edinburgh World Writers Conference. And if you go to YouTube and Google it with Transpotting, you'll get the dude who wrote Transpotting talk about colonized Scotland. And I just wanted to recommend it because they talk about globalization, colonization, and what's called heritage. And it's just a different perspective because the people in this writers' conference are predominantly not American. So I wanted to just recommend that to anybody who's interested. And thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thanks very much, Jane, for your call. We were talking about actions, and before we wrap up here in just a couple of minutes, I want to mention that I have seen a notice for tonight. There is a concert and benefit for the Water Protectors, Portland Rocks with Standing Rock. It's at Dante's tonight. All proceeds going to Pacific Northwest Stands with Standing Rock. And there's a guest speaker, Hugh Amakuk. There's an update from Standing Rock, hashtag no dapple. There is a ticket price, as it is a benefit, and doors are at 7:30. Together we are strong. Portland Rocks with Standing Rock. Doors 7:30, Dante's. I'm going to guess that's going on, and I haven't heard anything to the contrary, but you know, when it snows in Portland, always good to call ahead and just make sure that things are in fact still happening. Though I have to say, rock on, TriMet. You got me here in exactly the same amount of time that you would have got me here without snow this morning.
Same here.
I'm stunned.
They're amazing.
I am totally stunned. Go TriMet. And with that, we are just about out of time. I want Amy Harwood, who has been our guest this morning. Amy, if you could tell us again, not this weekend, which is totally jam-packed and full, and I'm really glad to hear that, but on the 28th, how do people get in touch with that date and get involved?
Yeah, there's schedule information up on first100dayspdx.org. That's 100 the number, not spelled out, first100dayspdx.org. And we'll have more information about the event on the 28th at PNCA. It will be an all-day event. And then we have several other events in the cooker for the months after that as well. So that's a great place to go. We also have a Facebook page that will have events up. And so hopefully we can get you into an event if you're interested. And as exciting as it is that we've filled up our spots, it's also, I hope people are finding some other opportunities to get ready for the 20th and beyond.
If you and your friends haven't registered yet, then you and your friends should get together this weekend and plan what you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Because again, this is one of those do-it-yourself things, right? How can we fight fascism together? The positively revolting way. Let's go ahead and leave it there. I do want to remind you that you can, in fact, like Positively Revolting on Facebook, where we will share all manner of ideas and articles throughout the week, and encourage, of course, continuing dialogue. Also on Twitter, you can find us at Positive Revolt. With that, take good care, and we'll be back next week on the 20th. I think that is otherwise known as Franny's birthday.
Get well, Lynn.
And Inauguration Day. Take care and keep on being positively revolting.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Monday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline will be hosting a Valentine's Day special. We will be reading your Valentine's shoutouts to your friends and loved ones. So whether you are locked up or your loved one is, we welcome you to mail or email us your Valentine's messages. Our address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Attention, Prison Pipeline. An email is kbooppc@gmail.com. Then tune in and have your loved one tune in on Monday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m. to hear your messages read live.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring for our Youth of Color Production Internship Program. This internship is open to people of color attending college and/or under the age of 30. This is a 6-month internship for 20 hours a week for $20 an hour. Responsibilities include the selection and preparation of KBOO content for national distribution using a variety of digital audio workstations and helping to develop a digital content strategy for promotion of KBOO content. Deadline to apply is Friday, January 27th at 5 p.m. More information, including skills and qualifications, can be found at kboo.fm/productionintern2017.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's coming up on 9:01 a.m. on